the actual part of them saying, hey, we're going to shock you.
Has it been a long week? Do you need a break?
Are you stressed? Stuck in your job? Maybe you need an escape.
I'm Beth Dybel.
I'm Tatiana Abaro.
And I'm Ezekiel Kajakai. And this
is Escape Break,
where we discuss all things escape rooms in Southern California.
The good.
The bad.
The funny.
And don't forget the awkward.
Trust me, I wish I could.
This show is just on the horizon. Get ready to sit back, relax, stop working, and take a break with us.
Welcome in, everyone, to Escape Break. We are back in action with talking about escape rooms. If you joined us recently, you got to hear a lot about all three of us, myself, Tati, and Beth. And I'm happy to say we're all here today to talk about escape rooms. Tati, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Beth, how are you?
I'm good. Even better now that we're recording.
Awesome. Awesome. And I appreciate you guys being willing to go under the gun and answer a bunch of questions from all of us and some of our listeners. We will have segments like those again, but sprinkled throughout the normal show. So if you wanted to ask a question, just send it over to us on Instagram or Facebook at the Cager Express. We'd be happy to consider it and maybe include it in a future episode. But today we're back to the regular routine, if you will. Today we're talking about a very special moment in Tati's life, her 300th escape room.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about that whole day, how it went, how she feels now, what her goals are now. Then we'll get into a mini segment of the Ultimate Game Master, where we talk about the good and the weird and the bad that we see within the Game Master world. And at the end of the show, we'll play a brief game called Storytellers, where Tati and Beth have to work together to identify the story I tell them and what room it came from. But before we do that, some recently current events.
Yeah. I think this is like a breaking news sound occurring right now.
Here, I could be the cut for that.
Give it to us, Beth.
Breaking news in the escape room industry. Kai, take it away.
We're hearing reports that the famous Mind Trap in Temecula will be closing its doors on the arena.
No!
Yes, we got news. If you're not in the SoCal ERA Facebook group, please join. It's free. It's awesome. It's active. But the owners of Mind Trap recently announced that they'll be closing the doors of the famous game Arena. Now, Arena, for anyone who's never heard of it, is a game where you wear a shock collar around your neck and you lightly get poked and pestered throughout the game. As weird as that sounds, it's super fun. It's not incredibly scary, and it's a great balance of pushing the limits, but also keeping things safe. I know how you guys reacted, but I want the listeners to know. I texted in our group chat, Beth, how did you feel when you saw my message about the arena closing?
I replied in caps lock and texted like three separate times, and I was just in shock. I was sad. I was upset. I had texted my friends and was like, you know that game I talk about all the time? It's closing. And they're like, oh my God, that's such a bummer. And I go, no, it's not a bummer. Like, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm sad. I'm really upset. I talk about this game way too much. And now people are gonna look at me and go, your favorite game was a room with shock collars and you can't even like show us what it is. No, you had to go do it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Now there's still a chance to do it. But Tati, how did you feel when you saw the news?
Well, the first one I wanted to say was shocked, but that's just way too on the nose there. But I was very surprised. I thought that it was a fan favorite. I thought it was very popular and well known. Now, I will say it's within the enthusiast community. You go outside of that realm and you have a lot of people who are, one, hesitant about playing escape rooms in the first place because they always think everything's scary. And then two, the actual part of them saying, hey, we're going to shock you, is probably not very enticing, but it's such a unique experience that I thought it wasn't going to go away for a very, very long time. And just to give background, Beth, this was in your top five, or is this your top number one?
I think this would be my number one. Like, I've talked so highly about it for so long. And every time I talk about it, I always say, like, oh, this, like, re-sparked my love for escape rooms because it really pushed the boundaries and gave me something different.
Yeah. So just to show how much, you know, Beth cares about it, and she's played a lot of rooms. So yeah, that's just to show, like, how what this room means to the enthusiast realm.
Yeah, yeah. You still have a chance to play if you haven't. They have not officially announced the date yet as of this recording. But if you think about it, it's been a long time. I mean, I played this room before COVID. Here we are in 2024. Yeah. Eventually, there needs to be turnovers in rooms. If there's any silver lining, this means that Mindtrap has something else planned. I don't think this is the case where they're slowly consolidating the business because things are going in the wrong direction. I do think something else is on the way. We're excited to see it, but certainly if you ever wanted to play or you want to be part of the select group that has experienced this, go book a game, experience it now, make the trip. It's worth it. It's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of great other games to do there if you want to just bundle up on games on games.
Yeah, I was just out there last week to play Winnie the Pooh and 40 Thieves, which were on my list for a very, very long time. And just go do them. Like, that's all I have to say. Go do them. They're really fantastic. I brought some newbie friends and they were like, oh, I understand why you like escape rooms now. And now they're hooked. So thank you, Mindtrap.
Yeah, Mindtrap's awesome. Did I see, Kai, that you will be playing again?
I think so. Obviously, it's one of the few games that I think would be cool to play again. And I've hadn't played it in so long that I think it would be fun. I'm very against like playing a room and having it be fun. I almost worry that if I were to play again, it would lose the luster. So there's part of me that's like, nope, I'm not going to do it. But who knows? Beth and I might do it. I know Carla from 13th Room wants to join too, so this might be happening very soon.
Okay, I'd love to hear the experience that you guys have the second round if you guys do it again. I also saw that the person that helped create this room said if anybody's crazy enough to license it from him, he'd be happy to talk to them about putting it into their own escape room. So maybe there's a chance that it lives on somewhere else. I don't know.
Lots maybe. Of things.
That honestly worries me. I'd rather have it die and be the historical thing that it is than someone else try to take it over. I feel like that's where we get into the uncreative world. But who knows? Yeah. Who knows? We'll see. We can talk about it later if it surfaces again.
Okay. I'd be like worried that. About it continuing on and then people being like, this is the game that everyone talks about? That'd be my concern.
It doesn't live up to the original hype.
Yeah. The shocks aren't as shocking. You know, things happen.
Guys, have you played any rooms recently? Beth, I know you just said you played 40 Thieves and Winnie the Pooh. Tati, anything recently since we've last seen you?
Yeah. I was over at Omscape and I played over there.
But today, let's take it back in time a little bit. Tati, welcome to the 300 Club.
Thank
we
you.
Had a day of rooms. We played Trials of Merlin at Trapped. We then went to the Ministry of Peculiarities and played Hope End. And that was 300. We ended the day with a couple extra rooms to help my girlfriend get to 200 at Maze Rooms. But a lot of achievements that day. Tati, do you want to start with 300 and then kind of highlight the other rooms throughout the day?
Sure, let's just go into it. So if you've been listening, you guys know that I have been set in stone as this is my 300th room at Ministry of Peculiarities, Hope End. I had heard so many great things about this and I was like, I need to play this game. What better than to make it my 300th milestone? I am so happy that I did. The second that we even got there, we weren't even inside the building. They were already in character. And I was like, what is this? I love this. This is so cool. And then we get inside and it's just so wacky and wild. I didn't even know what was happening in the beginning, but we did all the things and it just made me smile. And the hospitality that goes with it is very, very awesome. I am very glad I made this room my 300th. It has a little bit of immersive theater. It has the escape room element. It's beautiful. The set is beautiful. And like I already mentioned, the people that work there are so kind and sweet. I know we don't spoil anything, so we can't go into detail. I will give a couple things in the beginning. I was asked how scary this room is. In my opinion, it's not scary. And I don't do scary. The beginning was a little nerve-wracking for me. We were all holding hands and it was very cute. But once things got rolling, it was fine. It was okay. There's a couple eerie moments, but you'll be okay after that. I got the beautiful music from the two brothers playing the accordion for me, which was very kind. And I hear that when you tell them in advance that you have a milestone of some sort, they also bless you with their beautiful music. So if that is something that you would love to encounter and experience, I highly recommend.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's awesome.
Jonathan and Ben, some of the creators there. I think there's others involved for sure. I think Adam is a name that I've seen kind of floating around too. And of course, all the different actors that they have are contributing to this wonderful experience. They went above and beyond when I told them we're coming back up. I had played before. So for me, it was interesting going through it again and kind of being on the inside because I knew some twists and turns that were going to happen specifically for Tati that she didn't. And it was just cool watching the group that hadn't played before react to the quirkiness, the improv themselves, because we had some characters in our group, you know, suggesting things to the actors and seeing how they respond.
Yes.
All in all, to enjoy this room, you have to go in with an open mind. You have to understand that it is hybrid escape room, hybrid immersive theater, and you really have to appreciate that this is a high quality immersive event that is affordable in the immersive event world and private. Most immersive events, you're with a group of, I don't know, 25 people that you don't know, and there's actors that are trying to balance out the interactions. We played with a group of four and we had actors, two to three actors involved, giving us all kind of personal attention. That's really rare, and it's really awesome to experience something that private, that personal.
Yeah, I didn't realize how involved this room was as far as the acting, but also elements in this room showed that they had to plan a lot before the room. And once you play it, you understand what I'm talking about, but that just goes to show what they had in mind and what they envisioned and how well they executed it. And like you mentioned, there were a lot of twists and turns. And if it wasn't my special 300th room, I don't think I would be as bold to do some of these things. But thank you for allowing me to experience that. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So we've all experienced it now. There's new things coming. All of our fingers are crossed for ministry. We have a budding conversation along the way this year with Jonathan and maybe Ben joining the show. So you can look forward to that. But if you go back into the archives, you do have one of the actors, Jace Taylor, who came on the show prior. So things to look forward to in the future, things to look forward to or look back to in the past.
So real quick, before we turn over to other rooms, I know Kai, you're not big on awards, but I want to shout out for those that don't really know what Hope End is. This room is the highest ranking Southern California room on the list for, what did we say? Terpeka?
Terpeka?
I don't know. Terpeka. Okay. So it is the highest rating. I know. I don't really know how to say this, but whatever. I am trying. Terpeka? It's the highest rating Southern California room on the Perpica list, which I think in itself is an astonishment because this list is international. Mm-hmm. And to say that you are the highest rated Southern California room, I would take that and be like, heck yeah, that's awesome. All our hard work has gotten us this acknowledgement. And I think it's rightfully given.
Mm-hmm. Well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And last shout out to ministry for, in my personal life, associating Azusa now with escape rooms. Because prior to that, only thing I knew about Azusa was Azusa Pacific College.
Exactly.
I was just going to say the same thing.
I knew now, one girl that went to college there and I was like, Azusa? And now I'm like, Azusa? Perpica?
Yeah, now it's about escape rooms. So way to take over the city, guys.
Yeah, ministry.
All right. So the rest of the day was filled with a lot of other rooms, all great rooms for the most part, leading the way. We checked out Trapped and Trials of Merlin, which presented a wizarding adventure, as you could imagine by the name. All Trapped rooms are great. They have a lineage, a history of this. And this room specifically is all tech. It's a lot of good magic illusions that they do. And I think what I like best about this game is anyone can play. So Beth hasn't played yet, but Beth, I'm telling you, anyone can play. So this is a great one to like take your roommates to, your friends. It has layers to where no matter what version you play, like you're going to experience a lot of things. But I enjoyed it. Tati, what'd you think about Merlin? What kind of highlights can you give without spoiling to make people want to play this?
You already kind of touched on it. One of the highlights I really enjoyed is the level adjustment that they make, and they do it while you are playing the game, which is really cool because one, that's attention from the game master. And that's two, also pre-planning on their part to say like, how do we provide the best experience for mm-hmm. everybody of every level? And I've mentioned this before, but I think that's such a thoughtful and inclusive element to add to escape rooms so that it's versatile for everybody. I don't think this is a spoiler, but I loved the colors and the cauldron.
Yeah.
So once you play that part, I thought it was very cool how they did it, how they executed the puzzle. For me, I was a little spooked in a part of it where I was holding someone at all times. But besides that, and Kai, you got a forever medal. And we won't say how, but Kai got a forever medal.
There is a chance to get some sort of take-home award.
Mm-hmm. So. But yes, it's a fantastic room. I have a very special place or Trapped in my heart, so I get very excited whenever they come up with something new.
I love Trapped. They were like one of the first rooms I had done outside of like the company I was working for.
What Trapped rooms do you have left?
I think just Merlin and One-Eyed Jack out in Vegas. One-Eyed Jack has been on my list
forever. Since,
I don't know, like 2018. Like how long has that game been running?
Yeah, I agree.
It's
forever.
Been a while.
Yeah, but I hear great things about it. So I'm like, well, I got to go to Vegas at some point.
Just One-Eyed Jack for you too, Tati.
Yeah, which we'll get to cross that off our bucket list.
We have plans for One-Eyed Jack this year. I still have, as you know, Pandora's Box, but everyone's played it. So I'm going to have to Craigslist an escape partner.
I'll replay it with you, but you know how I am. I'll just like crack bad jokes or something.
Nice. I already have a gift card for it. So I got it on Black Friday. We either do that or I run some sort of competition to see if a listener wants to play with me. And hopefully somebody does.
Dude, that would be amazing.
What if everybody wants to play?
Because do you know how many people are probably listening like, oh man, I've never played that room.
I don't want to play that game.
I need to play? What?
We'll see. All right. So the tail end of the day, we traveled across the land,
the land
to Maze Rooms in Santa Monica. And we played three Maze Rooms at the same location. If you're not in LA, when you play Maze Rooms, you usually have to like play them all to get your money's worth, because the travel is not worth going 2 hours or more to just play one. The other thing with Maze Rooms is Maze Rooms can be really good or they can be really bad. And that's because Maze Rooms is a franchise. And within the franchisee agreement, the owners differ in terms of kind of how much effort they're putting forward, although meeting the minimum to the contract. Anyways, this specific Maze Room is tied with Maze Rooms Culver City, which I had played all three rooms there, loved them all. So I was like, let's do it again with the same knowledge of the builder, of the business owner, etc. So this location has Whatever Happened to the Garretts, Tombstone, and There's Something Out There. Now, we're going to start with Tombstone, even though that's not the order we played in. Tombstone is a, well, let me ask, when you heard Tombstone, both of you had played this, what did you think the type of game, like, what did you think the story was going to be about, just based on that name?
I thought it was going to be a lot scarier. Like, I thought it was going to be a graveyard kind of vibe, creepy, ghosts, very Halloween-y. Okay. And it was definitely not that.
It was not. Tati, did you think that, or were you on the same page the whole time?
Kind of. I thought it was going to be more creepy, but I already knew it was going to be a Western. So that was already in my mind. But I thought it was going to have some kind of a weird twist.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I played it the week it opened, so like no one knew anything about it.
Ah, okay.
And so I was like, it's going to be scary. And then we walked in and I was like, this is actually quite charming.
Yeah. So a Western game, which, you know, depending on what time in escape room history, these could be very popular. I would say there's not that many of them now, but we played this. I enjoy this a lot. It's good lighting, good effects of feeling like there are other people around within reason, and a lot of puzzles, in my opinion. Tati, what did you think about Tombstone? Did you like it? Where did it kind of rank of the three we played that day?
Yeah, so we played that one second in our run, but I thought it was great. I thought the layout was smart, and some of the tech that they have in this room, we even took minutes to just be like, hold on, how did that even happen? What just happened? It was so cool. And I thought, elements wise, it didn't necessarily have to just be a puzzle. There were actions that you did that would also progress you through the game, which creates that more interactiveness. And I really enjoyed that. The like snippets of voices and phrases that they had were smart, and they were like giving hints without actually giving hints, if that made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Our game master throughout the day was super cool. He was definitely a veteran game master. He kind of gave off a vibe like he wasn't paying us any attention, but at the same time, he was acknowledging that he didn't need to, because we kind of were figuring stuff out on our way.
He was patting us on the back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was thankful that we were so, you know, veteran, because it seemed like he might have been training somebody that day or handling multiple things at once. And we'll get to that later. But I think you'll like Tombstone. Oh, if you like Tombstone, it kind of speaks to how deep in the escape room game you are, because it's very escape room to the core. There's, you know, a lot of classic escape room things, like classic locks, but you traverse the room back and forth. And I personally have no problems with it. I thought it was good. And I think people should play this. Beth, do you remember anything about Tombstone, given you played it so ahead of us?
I do remember each area that we went into. I remember specific actions that happened, but I don't remember what we did to trigger them. Yeah. I just remember being like, is there a live actor? I didn't ask beforehand. Is there? And I don't know, it just felt very real. Like, it did feel like I was no longer in a weird business park building kind of thing. Like, because when you walk into the lobby, when I went, it had four white walls and two posters and like a couple chairs. And then you don't expect much based on the lobby itself. Mm-hmm. And when you walk into the room, it almost feels like you're walking down like Ghost Town in Knott's Berry Farm.
That's a good call, actually.
And I was very I just felt like I was there. I felt like I totally went to a different place, and I thought it was great. And all of the actions made it feel so realistic. And then everything we were doing felt like it was definitely related to like the story. Cause you know how when you're doing math, you're like, this is not related to what mm-hmm. I am solving and doing. Everything just felt like it tied together so nicely.
My favorite part beyond the game was, you may know that Tati is a criminalist, but in my mind, Tati is a sheriff. Tati is a deputy. So when we were in the Wild Wild West, I knew I was with the top law enforcer in the saloon, and that was her. So I had a couple times to just remind her of her true career path, and I'm sure she hated it.
Thanks, Kay.
You're welcome.
Sheriff Tati coming into town with her spurs and horse.
Oh, gosh.
I think
ready to arrest the townspeople.
Since the last episode, playful hate of myself is now the theme of Escape Break. Okay, so let's head to whatever happened to the Garrets. Now, the weirdest thing about this game is we can't tell you what happened to the Garrets, because if we did, it spoils the game. But finding out what happened to the Garrets is the best part about this game. Going in unknown is really why you want to play this game. So I don't even know how to start describing this game. Beth, Tati, do either of you want to try to give it a shot without spoiling whatever happened to them?
So you had your average family back in the 80s, I believe is the era. There was something that occurred that caused them to go missing, and you are trying to figure out what it is.
So we think about a lot of rooms, and they're like gonna bring forth a nostalgia game, 80s game, the 90s game, etc. This game kind of does that, but adds the layer, and I think that's smart. Beth, how do you feel when a room is gonna say, we're bringing back an 80s game, like trapped in the whatever? Does that excite you, or do you want more?
Well, it kind of excites me a bit because I'm a 99 baby, so I didn't really get to experience that like era. Mm-hmm. So being able to be put into a room that's supposed to be based on that era is kind of cool, because I never really got to experience anything like that. I didn't get to play with any of those toys, see those collectibles, see any of those stuff on shelves. So I think it's really cool. But I also understand when people who did go through that are like, this kind of blows, like this isn't accurate to my 80s experience. Then I'm like, oh, okay, like I don't know about the 80s. But I always like them. I think they're fun. They're funky. I like seeing like the toys and collectibles. But sometimes I also feel like the room can look a little bit run down because they're getting true collectibles and using those in the room. Mm-hmm. That might have been like secondhand, definitely loved before, but they're trying to keep that nostalgia by using those items.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, there's new versions of Rubik's Cubes. I know.
Oh, yeah.
But they aren't. I would know. Yes. Yes. Oh, I will say, if majority rules, people love what happens to the Garrets. Like, that's probably the crowd favorite.
Yes.
For me, it wasn't, because agreed. the favorite that I had was the most recent room called There's Something Out There. Now, this is a scary room, but it's scary within reason, in my opinion. Obviously, everyone gets scared at different levels. It's a great room that makes you feel like you're outside. Basically, the story is you're out investigating some sort of camping trip, if you will, for me to be vague, and people are dying and something is killing them. And you have to investigate what is that something that is out there in the woods. So I really enjoyed it. Tati was super brave. There's a lot of moments where it gets really, really dark, and you feel that something that's out there is right next to you. You really feel it. And I just loved it. I thought it was the perfect balance of puzzles and kind of really dramatic scares, but nothing over the top at the end of the day, looking back in hindsight. Tati,
Yeah.
being the resident chicken, can you tell Beth, your fellow resident chicken roommate, whether or
It's
not she
true.
should play this game and why?
Beth, you can I think you should play this.
Okay.
It's so doable. I was blessed with brave people. I knew this was going to be scary because when Kai was setting this part up, he goes, "You know it's scary, right?" And I was like, "I know." And to just set the scene a little bit, this was our last room of the day at like 10 o'clock at night. So,
Right before bedtime?
like, right, well, I mean, we didn't go to bed till way later, but yes, it was like the perfect time to do it because when you go into the room, it's dark. When you're in the room, it's nighttime. And when you get out, it's still nighttime. You know, like there's no break in immersion. So, anyways, yeah, we played this room. I wasn't ready. It gets you right from the start and you're just going.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I like to hold people to make sure they are within arm's reach of
Yeah,
me
to
for
make sure they're still
protection.
here.
Yes. So I was constantly holding someone at all times, but it is very doable for those that are scary. I would say take a brave soul for you. They're with you because if everyone's paralyzed, you're not going to be able to do some parts. And there does take some bravery in there. I think this game was so brilliant with the technology that they included in this room. The storyline, like, I don't think we've ever experienced anything like this, Kai.
No, that's why I really liked it. It
Yeah.
wasn't, it
Whoa.
was very unique in that sense. And the story was riveting. Like the more detail kept revealing itself throughout the adventure to where
Yes.
the something that you find out what it is, at least in my mind, changed tremendously from the start of the game to the end of the game.
100%.
Whoa.
Yeah. No,
Okay, well,
it was great. It was like a story.
I have questions for when I go and play.
Okay.
How do I escape? No, I'm just kidding. That's a stupid question. If you ask people that, don't ask. My question is, how many would you recommend to play this room?
So we played before, and four people all over 100 rooms or more, much more. And I thought that was a nice size.
Okay. I like four. I always prefer four.
Also for the size of the room, I think that fits pretty
Yeah,
well.
there are
Okay.
some moments where if you had more than four, the space could get pretty tight.
Okay.
Or someone gets left out.
I don't know if you guys do this, but every time I go to an escape room, I'm always like, so what else is coming? Did you happen to ask that at that location? Is there something out there that is coming?
So
But
we did kind of ask, and something out there is actually pretty fresh. It's I think it was like a month old. So
is it actually?
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty new.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was out longer.
I'm shocked that people don't talk about this room more. Like, I was surprised that the only room that I had really heard from this location was the Garrett's room.
Yeah, I always hear about Garrett's.
Right. And so for me, I was like, really? That's the most popular talked about room. And we had this discussion on the drive back, but out of the three, that was my least favorite. So,
I like Tombstone more than Garrett's, and I was shocked at how many people loved Garrett's. And I understand like the surprise factor is really fun, but I thought Tombstone was so well done between those two.
Yeah, and if I had to rate them, mine was Tombstone, Something's Out There, and then Garrett's. And we kind of were discussing, you know, what makes things cool for some people and what things don't. And I think if I liked scary a little bit more, Something Out There would be higher ranked for me. But just because of my fear, you know, I can't do as many puzzles. It's not as fun for me, but it's very exciting to see your teammates kick ass in a room. So
you're like, yeah, go team.
And I can appreciate like what the room is for what it is, even though I'm like frozen in the corner.
There was one time like, I'm so scared, but
no, that was literally me. Great. Oh yeah. I was like, this is fantastic. Yours are doing great. And they're like, Tati, can you reach? I said, nope, I cannot reach.
I love going through and be like, oh my God, you're so scary. Thank you so much.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion. Maybe other people feel that way. I'd love to know what other people think about the other rooms, but that's just me.
I feel like it's I don't know. I love puzzles. Doesn't everybody? But
yeah.
I feel like the puzzles in Tombstone and Garrett's were very different. Like the ones in Garrett's were, I feel like Garrett's, I don't really remember, but I feel like Garrett's would have been better for like a group that hadn't done a ton of escape rooms. Like they would go with Garrett's and then go into Tombstone, because Tombstone I feel like was harder with the puzzles, but I really can't remember because it was so long ago.
There are puzzles you have to experiment to figure out how to do it. And then there are puzzles where you can logically think about how to do it.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Also, like, you guys know sign language, so this is awesome.
All right, let's get into the next segment of the show. There are definitely other games that we played or Tati played throughout her visit down here in SoCal. We'll get to those on another episode. They'll highlight confusion, escapes, they'll highlight some other things too. But at Maze Room, we experienced something that works perfectly with our segment called The Ultimate Game Master. Now, Beth was a game master. I was a game master. We both went into management positions at different escape rooms. We were good game masters. Some may say we were great, but ultimately we know how important it is to have a good game master because it can make or break your experience. Tati, never been a game master, but she's been in the front lines. I've had Tati in the back room while I'm game mastering games, based upon her relationships to some of my coworkers before we were friends. So Tati knows too.
I like to think I'm an honorary game master. I didn't get paid for it, but I definitely sent some clues sometimes. I helped reset rooms, but it was all for fun.
Yes. And we're going to just talk about a moment that happened, and whether or not it was good will be very obvious. So Tati, we were approaching Maze Room.
Yes.
And we were on time. We weren't tremendously early. I think there was maybe like 10 to 5 minutes before our game. I'm going to let you take it away because okay. This happened to Kev.
It did. So in some areas, depending on maybe how safe the area is, you can't get into the escape room building without being buzzed in, or maybe pressing a button first to alert them and then they'll actually come, or, you know, there's some kind of situation where you can't just enter. And in this case, it was that. We could see inside where the lobby was, and we saw that there was a game master talking to two people that were about to go play a room. We pressed the button that was there. We were buzzed in, and Kevin, my boyfriend, goes to open the door, and the game master that was in the lobby stops talking to the customers, sticks his hand out with like a stop motion, and says, no, go back outside. Does not say hello, does not say anything courteous, and just says, no, go back outside. And we're standing there with the door open, like, super confused, because obviously someone let us in to the lobby, but at the same time we're being told we cannot go inside. So then he goes, I need to finish with this group first. So Kevin closes the door and we all kind of look at each other and we start laughing because we're like, what in the heck is going on right now? So he finishes. Another game master comes out. He buzzes us in. He lets us in. And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Come on in, guys. Okay, whatever. As we're playing, again, we're playing three rooms in this one location. In between rooms, we can hear them moderating to other groups. And this same game master that was in the lobby that told us rudely, no, go outside, was almost demeaning, I think is the right word, to in giving hints to the people that he was game mastering. And I was astonished at how he was talking to these people. From the years of experience of seeing things behind the scenes, seeing how game masters, good game masters, work, I don't think I ever saw anyone give a clue this rude. And Kai made a comment that said, can you imagine if he was our game master for all three rooms instead of the guy we ended up with? We probably would not have as good of an experience. And so that made me want to talk to you guys more in depth about the situation. So let's start from the beginning.
I feel like there were so many other better things that he could have done. Like, the easiest thing you could do is excuse yourself from your group and say, oh, just give me 1 second. I'll finish up with you in just a moment. Hey, guys, welcome in. Can I ask you guys to stand outside for just a couple extra minutes while I put this group in? Then I'll let you guys into the lobby. You see how clear and concise that was? Do you see how kind that was and courteous rather than stop, turn around, go? Are you joking? I'm horrified. I'm like, how do you just act like that? And you're like, yeah, no, that's fine. That's totally fine for me to act like that. No, that's rude. You're trying to sell a fun experience and you're going to start it off by being like that weird, strict teacher that's like, get out. It's weird.
Yeah. Kai, how would you have liked him to handle that situation?
For the sake of chaos and meddling, I'm glad he handled it the way he did because it was an interesting turn of events. But it's going to lose business, right? The groups that played with that individual will likely not be coming back. And it goes into the bigger picture of the game master not really understanding the industry, not understanding that there are multiple escape rooms, specifically in LA, and how bad that can affect future customers, right? It's the game master that probably didn't want to see the 10:30 game book, like, because I get to go home, instead of realizing that, hey, a late night booking is great because that means we're active, we get more customers, I get more hours, those types of things. I get it. There are groups that can be annoying, can be rude to you, can be impatient with you, but that wasn't the case. The group that he was working with seemed like under 10 escape rooms played, if not their first one, seemed like a sweet duo, like two girlfriends wanting to just play a room. And it was cringeworthy. Like, that person, we should just strike the match and not light them on fire, but get them fired.
But like, drop the match somewhere nearby.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fireable offense. If I'm a manager, that's a talking to, and that's a like, hey, this stops now, or else if it happens again, you're gone. Because it hurts. We've all played noteworthy rooms where the game master changes how we feel about the room. It hurts. Like, the one I can think about that we've all experienced was Agent 13 in Louisiana, right? Dude. In Baton Rouge. That game, for that one game, we had a different game master than Corey that day. And it changed the experience. We all hated that game. We all knew it was partially the game, but partially how the game master handled us during the game. And we were over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the few rooms where we were asking for help, were clearly ignored. And it was to the point where we just wanted to stop.
Yeah.
The three of us that love escape rooms wanted to just stop playing the room.
That's an exit door over there?
Yeah.
Good to know.
That's the influence that a game master can have on your game.
Yeah.
So I thought that this was a really interesting situation that happened. And as far as the way he was talking to people, I'm sure you guys get so frustrated because you see people blatantly not listening to the rules. You give a hint and they don't get it the first time. Maybe they don't even get it the second time or the third time. You know, some things just don't click with people. But I don't think that gives you a right in a customer service environment to speak to someone in that manner. So if a game master that's listening to this podcast encounters frustration, can you give them some advice on how to handle those frustrating times and how to make it still a great experience for the people playing the game?
I think game masters have to constantly remind themselves that this is the first time that people are seeing this game. You, as a game master, are resetting it every hour. You're running it every hour. You know the ins and the outs of the games. You know how to fix it. You know how to troubleshoot stuff. You know how to do all the locks. You know where every single piece of thing goes. You have to remind yourself that this is a brand new experience for so many people that are coming through your doors, and you have to give them grace. You have to practice patience. And if they ask you for the same clue over and over and over again, think back on when you might have played the room first or when you might have had friends that were new to the room play. I know you're going to be a little easier on your friends. So just remind yourself, this is brand new. They're not going to go in knowing everything that you do. You're holding their hand. You are an additional teammate for them. You're not just going to walk them through the game. You're helping them have a good experience. And if they don't solve some of the puzzles correctly, or if they have to do it a slightly different way because the way that the puzzle was intended is just not clicking with them, okay. As long as it gets them past that point, so that way they can enjoy the rest of the experience the way it was intended.
Time flies when you're having fun, right? That's the cliche that I will actually agree to right now.
You guys, that's a moment right there. Kai hates cliches. So the fact that he just said one willingly on his own, that please, everyone, remember that moment. He's like, I hate that I just did that right now. Just,
I do. But to stay on topic, if you like your group and your group likes you, your hours on the job are enjoyable. If you start friction with your group at the door with this weird kind of alti, don't come in, even though I told you to come in, you're asking for a day on the job that's going to be stressful. You're adding to the problem. So become friends with your group for an hour. Enjoy that. It's going to make the job enjoyable. And also a little deeper here, learn how to hint. Because if your hints are literally,
go over there and solve this thing.
And that third drawer from the right, open it. What you need is in there.
Mm-hmm. Your hints drives me insane.
Your hints are bad. Like, you have to get good at cryptic hints. You have to set the tone in your rules to say, hey, when I do hint you, it's not going to be direct, but I am trying to help you. I'm never going to mislead you. Yeah. Then it's going to make the game immersive. It's going to allow them to feel like they're achieving things, because no one likes it when the hint comes in and it tells you literally what to do.
Yeah. The code is 1234.
And that's great. That was the type of hints we were kind of hearing to that extent. It was so direct. It was so, you know, the tone was so negative. And the other thing too is understand your surroundings. The way that facility is set up, their game master room is literally right next to the lobby. So if we were listening super heavily, we could have heard a hint that we could have connected to a game that we were about to play later in the night. And that's awful too. All right, guys. Last segment of the day, we're going to play some games. And today's game is Storytellers. Storytellers, I picked a handful of stories.
Story. Too bad this is not a video podcast. The way Kai just presented Storytellers was so regal. And now Beth and I are just copying him.
Hey, I think I can get that clip.
So many stories up our sleeves.
All stories.
Poorly said stories.
If you know me in my personal life, I like telling stories. I think the title of Storyteller is a great one, but this is about escape rooms. So a handful of escape rooms I put together that, for the most part, I believe you have played, but if not, they are well-known rooms in Southern California. I'm going to read you the story. You have to tell me what room it is. And I'm trying this for the first time, but all the rooms have a relating theme.
Yeah, I love that. I'm such a trivia nerd, and I love that section of trivia. Sorry, nice. That is all.
Nice. Okay. I'll certainly be available to give you hints, light hints, like whether you not have played them or not, or and hopefully that data is true, because one time I said Beth played her room and she hadn't.
Oh, yeah.
I may we've have all, made that mistake as
we've
well.
We've all made that mistake. Okay, here's yeah, we've your all first done a lot room. Of things. The story goes like this. Welcome to the future of Lethal Entertainment. That is the story. What room is that?
Is that the arena?
That is the arena. Okay. Yes. Nice. A short story, but yes, one sentence and that's it. We talked about today. Good job. You guys are one for one.
I had to remind myself that it was probably rooms we have done. So I was like, South Cybernetics? I don't know.
I thought that too for a second, but he said Southern California. So I was like, it can't be that.
Okay. Here we go. Next story. Come one, come all, step right up and see if you have what it takes to become a magnificent magician. In the room filled with trickery and illusions, you and your team will be put to the test. Work to beat the clock as you search for clues and solve mind-boggling puzzles in a topsy-turvy experience of a lifetime. Now, all you need to do is ask yourself, do you have the wits of a magician, or are you as clueless as a clown?
I have an idea.
You guys can talk it out, or you can just tell
me. Do
you
have an idea, Beth?
I do. I thought a World of Illusions at Maze Rooms.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, I have not played that one. The one that came to my mind was the Fun House at Crossroads.
Oh,
man.
Fun House?
My instinct is Fun House.
I'm going to help you guys out and let you know you should go with your instinct.
Okay.
Okay. Because
this is the Fun House.
Okay.
This is the Fun House at Crossroads Escape. Good job.
Yeah, this is only the second one.
All right. We're going to the next one. The year is 1980X, and Katana Corp is revolutionizing the industry with an eye-popping 16-bit graphics game. Welcome to Blank. Where thrill meets skill in a universe so vibrant, you'll forget it's not real life.
I might need to hear it again, but I, for some reason, am thinking Turing test at 60 out. That is okay. One of my thoughts.
That's
but
a good
I'll
one.
Need to hear it again.
It's the 1980s that's throwing me. The other word. Thing, the other room that kind of triggers me is the trapped room.
Oh,
shoot,
extra team.
What is it? Yes, that also came to mind.
I can give you more of the story because there's more.
I'd be okay with hearing more.
Yeah, let's go.
That's right. A cool story.
Meet Ronin, our devious state-of-the-art AI villain hijacked Neo Tokyo and turned it into his own oppressive empire.
Ronin
isn't your run-of-the-mill big bad evil guy. He can interact directly with players, making every token a different experience. Your mission? Take back Neo Tokyo and bring down Ronin with the legendary Neo Katana.
It's Maze Rooms! It's a Maze Rooms!
Oh, it's the Cyberpunk Samurai room.
Yes!
I have not played that room, but I'm pretty sure that's what it sounds like.
Okay, I am going to give you a little hint that you have not played this, either of you. Also, it is not Maze Rooms, but you're very close in choosing Cyberpunk Samurai to where that it is in the same theme. This is a newer room that just appeared toward the end of last year.
Code Samurai
is correct. At Escape the Arcade. This is in Redlands. Riverside.
Riverside, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I saw them on Instagram and I was like, who are you guys? Who are you?
Yes. As of now, I'm the only one to have played this of us three, but it's a very fun game.
Well, that makes more sense now, and I don't feel as bad for not getting it right off the bat.
Wait, so this is very cyberpunky? I know somebody who's really into that, so I might. Let's get you into escape rooms, bud.
It is a cyberpunk game, and a listener of the show, Kyle Miller, one of the owners there, has asked us to conduct a list of top cyberpunk games from the 80s to see where he would rank.
That's so specific.
I know, it's more of a joke, but it is a good
game. Okay.
And I'm like, and there he is.
Yep.
And there he is.
Okay. We got two more. Step right up. Welcome to blank. We've got fortune tellers, wild beasts, and magical moments you just have to see for yourself. But you better hurry, because the circus will be closing its doors very soon. Some cruel individual has been taking large sums of money from the establishment, but we think we hired the right crew to solve the mystery at hand. Save the blank circus. The world wouldn't be the same without it.
Is this the one we did in Louisiana?
No, it has to be Southern California.
Oh, okay.
Remember,
okay.
It's Southern California.
Yes. And
the one that I think it is, it's at 60 out. I think it's Hyde Circus.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. That is correct. All right. This is an escape room game with a theme of arcades and video games. You will be solving puzzles and playing arcade classics like skee-ball, basketball, etc. Video games, claw machines, skee-ball, and more. Join us at the blank, where you'll have 60 minutes to win tickets and prizes for your best friend, the birthday boy.
I think we both know what it is, right? Yeah.
Game on at unlocked.
Game on at unlocked. All right, you want one more?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know the theme already, but here we go. A mysterious circus has come to town and things are not what they seem. Step right up to the tooth toss, enter the fun house, or catch a show. Use a combination of wit and whimsy to decipher the clues hidden within the fairgrounds. Determine what's real or what's just smoke and mirrors.
Is this one the one that you said earlier, Beth?
World of Illusion? Is that Mason? Yeah.
It is not.
It's not. What are some other circus games?
The only other one would be Unlocked. It would be the Return of the Magician.
It is not.
What? So there's another circus room out there that we have played?
This one, I'm not sure either of you have played.
Oh, wait. Is it the one in Claremont that closed? Is it still open?
It is still open, so it is okay. Not that one. This
Never
one
mind.
Can be played in SoCal. This one could also be played up near you, Tati. This one, do you know what it is now?
It's at Red Door.
It is. Do you know what it's called?
Fair Game.
It is called Fair Game. Great job. Guys, do you know what the theme is?
Circus?
It's not circus. The theme is not circus. Remember, we had Code Samurai.
Oh.
We also had Arena, which is not a circus.
Let's talk it out. So we had Fun House.
Mm-hmm.
Arena. Funhouse Arena. We had Game On.
Samurai. Oh, Game On. The Cyberpunk Samurai.
It was Code Samurai.
Code Samurai.
Don't overthink it, but I believe Code Samurai might be the one that will throw you off the most.
Well, I don't know much about Code Samurai.
Yeah, I know.
Let me read the part about Code Samurai that might help. The part that might help is Katana Court is revolutionizing the industry with an eye-popping 16-bit graphics.
Yeah, no, I don't think that did anything for me.
Nope. I'm trying to think, like, what do you do in all of them?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. What?
Well, I thought like games, just like
yeah,
games.
I was thinking like different variations of games. Like,
there you go. That's it. It's games.
Really?
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
Okay.
Freaking overthinkers.
Tati, good job. We did it.
They all involve games. They all involve games to some extent, whether it's fair games, magic and games, video games, so 16-bit arcade games, etc., or sadistic games in the arena.
Got it.
Story.
We did it, Tati.
Yes.
We won.
All right, guys. That concludes this episode of Escape Break. A lot we covered today. We'll be coming back next week with some more goodies, but hopefully you enjoyed today. Guys, I will see you next time for some Escape Break fun.
Hey, Kai, guess what?
No, don't say it. I need more time.
Break time is just about over.
But Tati, what if they want more?
They can tune into the next episode.
Next episode?
Of course! There's so many more escape adventures to share.
Well, what can they do between now and then?
They can like us on social media.
Share this episode?
Yes, absolutely.
And what if they are new to the show?
Then I think they should go back and listen to all the great episodes.
Awesome. And don't forget to send in your questions to us. And be sure to tune in soon for your next Escape Break.